Unlock the past and safeguard your memories with scanmyphotos.com. Here's our special promo code, GODIGITAL, to get a whopping up to 50% off your photo scanning order. Don't let your cherished moments fade away. Digitize them now with precision and care. Whether it's old slides, photos, or films, bring them into the digital age and relive those precious memories. This is an affiliate promotion, meaning we may earn a commission if you take advantage of this fantastic deal. Act fast, preserve your history, and save big with Go Digital at scanmyphotos.com. Welcome to Ask Maureen, where we cover historical image analysis, genealogy, and how to work with your family photo collection. I'm Maureen Taylor, the photo detective, and I'll try to answer your questions. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Photo Detective. I'm known as the photo detective for my work revealing family history in old photographs. Now, you can watch this live on Facebook. You can listen to it later on iTunes. And you can subscribe to my newsletter and get it delivered right to your inbox. I use the Be Live platform because I like the interaction with my audience. Now, today is a very special podcast. It's not on a usual day, although it is my usual time, Thursdays at 1 o'clock. And today we're going to talk about a topic that I think will resonate with many of you, and that is sharing images online. It's a topic that we need to talk about, and it's a serious one. It's a serious one because maybe you post your images online and maybe you don't, and maybe you're worried about doing it. And certainly the things that I'm going to talk with you about today aren't going to make you feel any better. So I don't even know where to begin, really. I've given lectures at Roots Tech on sharing images. Hi, everyone that's saying hi. And I have heard some hair-raising tales of identity theft of images and the lengths at which folks will go to change a picture. And it's stunning me. It was stunning to sit there or to stand there and present and then ask for feedback from the audience about situations that they've encountered. And what they encountered was actually pretty scary. And I don't know if I should start talking about that now and tell you those hair-raising tales or not, but I guess I will. So here's the thing. A woman in the audience, and this is not just about sharing old photos. This is about sharing photos in general on social media. I'm a careful sharer, I guess you could say, because I'm aware of what's happening with the sharing. But what I have to share with you today are some articles and something another colleague told me about that I think will stun you. But anyway, I'm giving one of the most extreme examples of this was a woman at Roots Tech who told me that her daughter had had her entire life in images stolen by someone who then made everyone think she was this woman's daughter. And it's hard to imagine, you know, we're very open with our lives on all of these social media channels. And I'm not just talking about sharing on Facebook. I'm talking about sharing online in general. And I have some solutions for us to talk about today as well. So does anyone that's watching so far have any feedback for me on things that have happened to them with sharing images? My inbox often gets full with people who have complained about images being misidentified or re-identified. You know, you think you know who it is. And certainly a good portion of my client base are people who come to me and say that they have seen an image posted somewhere online and it is not the person they think it is. And how do I feel about this identification? And so I joke when I lecture that I have solved or calmed down many a family conflict, but I've also caused more than my share. And I tell them to just say the photo, you know, blame it on me. The photo detective said this person is not who it is, or this person is who they think it is, you know, something like that. So the reason I decided to do a special photo detective live and podcast was because of an article I saw last week in the March 18th, 2019 Wall Street Journal, written by Joanna Stern. And the topic of it was sharing baby photos online. How many of you have grandchildren? Come on, raise your hands. How many of you actually see baby pictures in your feed? And that could be Facebook, that could be Instagram, that could be Flickr, it could be anywhere where you see baby pictures online. There's an awful lot of them. Come on, this is an interactive platform, so I can take questions and I can hear your comments. But I want to, I'm gonna show you the, here's the article from the Wall Street Journal. And here's, I mean, I always read these personal technology things because my life is photographs, old photos, new photos, photos in general. I can't get enough of them. But this article actually made me go, what? How can that actually be a thing? And yet it is. So on Instagram, there is something, hold on to your chairs for this one. On Instagram, there is something called a baby role play community. People lift photos of other folks' babies, rename them, and use the images on their own Instagram feed. Let that sink in for a moment. So these photographs get lifted from Instagram by people who want to role play that they're parents on their Instagram feed. And this is how this came up. So this reporter said that she was doing this article and that she saw a posting where someone posted they wanted to welcome to the world this baby. And the baby is actually not the baby of the person on the parents. It's someone in this role-playing thing. And so now the mom will post pictures of her baby, but she posts them with an emoji over the face. So like a fake baby face to prevent people from lifting baby pictures. And I know my feed is full of people sharing baby photos. And I like looking at them. I like babies. You know, I had a couple myself at one point. But this whole role-playing thing was just alarming to me. And one of the listeners today, Deborah, says that that's very sad in many ways. And yes, it is. There's so many layers to it. Then there was another article I saw that made me even more alarmed about facial recognition and sharing things and what we share and what we don't share. And so this is in the March 18th, 2019 Wall Street Journal. It's an article by Joanna Stern, and it is titled "Think Before Sharing Your Baby's Photo." Now, I don't know. I know the Wall Street Journal sometimes lets you look at images, and sometimes they say, oh, you have to have a subscription. But maybe you have a public library with a subscription, or maybe you have a friend who gets the paper, and they can give you access to it. And somebody's telling me that my internet feed is bad. So can you all weigh in on this and tell me if you can see me or if the feed is going in and out? It might be just weather related in another part of the country. I'm just going to continue with this. I believe that this is recording. I don't know, but we'll see. Sometimes that happens. Okay, we're going to keep going. So the second article I want to talk about is something on facial recognition. And this was an article on NBC News. And basically, these companies that are developing facial recognition are out there on the web lifting photographs and creating sort of a big database of photographs. And it's called scraping. When you take information offline, like from the online community, and you're pulling all these images, it's called scraping. And so the identities are not necessarily with them, but there are places, I mean, this is a company that's doing this because they're creating a huge database of our pictures, and they're lifting them from all over the place. Our Facebook feeds, our internet feeds, wherever else we post photographs. And then they're using them to test all this facial recognition software. I have to admit, I find that all very disturbing. I know we sign terms of agreement, terms of service, when we sign up for these online communities. But I'm going to caution you that we need to read those terms of service a little more carefully. We just do. I have to admit that sometimes I just click because they're so long. But one of the things we need to pay attention to is what rights are we giving to these companies to reuse our photographs? And I don't mean just genealogy companies, but we certainly need to look at those terms of service as well. But all of the places we post images online. A colleague and I were talking about this topic last evening, and we were talking about these two articles, and I was talking about how I was doing this Facebook Live about it because it's kind of alarming in all of this. And, you know, so if you don't mind, Barbara, I'll pop you up here. And she says she declines people she doesn't know on Instagram, and same with Facebook, just friends. Yes. So you really have to sort of limit who you're going to show those pictures to. Definitely. And for a while, there was a sort of list of rules for posting on the internet, for information, for genealogy information. And the rule included saying something like, no, don't post any information for 100 years on a person. So like you would not post birth information for your children or your grandchildren, for instance, that kind of thing. Oops. And then, excuse that for me for that moment. And then, so there's this other thing we started talking about, and there's a website called Only in Your State. And I don't know if you know it or not, but it's onlyinyourstate.com. And so onlyinyourstate.com, there is one of those for every state in the country. And you can go to those specific states, and it's basically marketing for these, for tourism. But what was pretty amazing was that this site, Only in Your State, when you click on their copyright policy is not their copyright policy, but ways for you to say that your copyright was infringed, that one of your photos had appeared on one of their websites without your permission. And so these photographs that they're posting with these articles come from Facebook, Yelp. So maybe you've posted one of the photographs that you've taken of a special dinner or a restaurant that you love or something, and that from Yelp has been scraped from the internet or picked up or right-click copied. Flickr. And I'm going to talk about Flickr specifically in just a minute. I'm going to show you an example. And then Google, the Google Photos. So it's all very, you know, odd and crazy, I think. So here we go. Sherry says that at some point she had to make her ancestry family tree private because a man added all of my photos and family as well to his tree. He refuses to communicate and make corrections, and subsequently my personal photos are all over Ancestry. Yes, that is a real thing. Sherry, you are not alone. My inbox is proof. And Deborah asks, on Facebook, presumably this is only an issue if you make your photos public. I don't know. I'm assuming that if you have a public page then, you know, if you have a private page, then they're private, and hopefully so. But as somebody else says, here we go. The issue with Facebook is they change privacy settings without notice. That's right. That's right. And trust me, I mean, here I am doing Facebook Live on Facebook. So, I mean, it does have its, it does have things I really love, you know, to do with Facebook. I love communicating with everyone. I'm never at a loss for questions at a family reunion because I know what everyone's doing. So I can ask them how their vacation was and things like that. Sherry says that she never posts any photos to Ancestry, Facebook, or any other public forum any longer. Unfortunately, that's the world in which we live. And Mark, nice to hear from you. I hope distant family members will save, copy any old Ancestor photos I have on Ancestry. I want them to enjoy them as I do. Right. So here we have two different schools here. Do you post? Do you share? Maybe you want to, maybe you don't. But before you post, be aware that others may copy and paste them. That right-click copying thing is a thing and easy to do. If I'm going to share something on Facebook, then I know full well, or share something on an Ancestry tree or a MyHeritage tree, I know that those are images that may become part of someone else's family tree. And if you're not comfortable with that, then I would suggest not posting. Just post the information that you have for the family tree. I know I have more comments in here. You can see them. Michelle says that even in Flickr, she never posts photos of people. That's a good rule. You can do that. Mimi Reynolds, my feelings are that if you don't want other people to use your photos in their tree, then don't post them or make your tree private. I love seeing trees with photos in them. So I have some tips for you today on how we can help with this. It's not 100% though. I can't promise you that no one will lift your photos and in this way. But I wanted to give you those three examples. One, the baby role-playing thing where people are stealing pictures of babies and children and making them their own. And there are other heinous things that happen with children's photos online. And then the facial recognition. I don't know what to do about that. I mean, if they want a picture of me from 1999 to put in the database, or even from today, I mean, there's not much I can do about it. I'm using it as a marketing tool. And so what can you do? So number one, you can accept the risk or not. Number two, you can protect your children by not sharing their images online. And I would go back to that sort of laundry list of things not to do with your genealogical information and apply that to your photographs. And number one is don't share any recent photos and don't share photos of people that are still alive unless you have their permission. And you just never know where those pictures are going to pop up. The other thing you can do, and I want to share a couple of things that I have pulled out for you. One is you can watermark your images. So I'm going to share this screen. Here we go. And I'm going to try to make it big and me small. There we go. So there is something online called umarkonline.com. Now this is free, absolutely free. So you can add a watermark to your photo. So the first thing you do is upload a photo. And if you buy the version, the Umark program, then you can batch watermark your photos. So then I uploaded an image. So I'm going to go to it and upload it. And you're going to get advertising. You can't get around it. So I don't know if you can see this or not, but across the middle of the screen, it says your watermark text. So up here, I can actually put a watermark right across the image in faint text. So I can say photo property of photo detective. Do that, and then I can, it should go. Here we go. It's loading. a little slow because of all the advertising. What happened to that? Now it's stalled. It's not making me happy. Okay, so I put in a watermark text, property of the photo detective. There it is across the screen. I can change the font. I can make the font larger or smaller. I can change it from being the transparency of it so that people, it really jumps out when they look at it. They can always contact you for images. And I can even change the color. So how can I change the color? Here we are, I have a color bar. So maybe I want to be really obnoxious and put it in bright red. Come on. There we go. I'm going to put it in bright pink. And I can change the position of it. So I can put it down at the bottom. I can put it over in the corner. Whatever, you know, you put it down there, someone can cut it off. Now, the other thing you can do is, what are you going to put for your watermark? You could put your email address there. You could put your username on a site. You could, you know, put whatever you want as your watermark. Now, I'm going to go back to the question so I can see what you're asking. I wouldn't mind if the person would ask permission. Sherry said, right, if the person would ask permission and get it right. I always ask the owner if I can use their image on, like, Find a Grave. And Elizabeth, very funny, she's asking me if I read the privacy terms on that service. As far as I know, they don't keep it. I did a long time ago. They just, I think it would be even better if you just, if you wanted to purchase the software to put a watermark on. And there's lots of services to put watermarks on. This is just one that I like to use. And here's another question. And Jill, you're right. This is a really hard one. She says she's had a blog for her family for 9 years to leave behind for future generations. She's also very active on social media, and so are her two teen girls. It's been a way to stay in touch with family and friends we don't live close to, plus to leave family history behind. So, yes, if the damage is already done, I mean, you can limit it by taking more things off. But as Sherry found out, those images can get spread all over the web. Now, that might be a problem for you or might not be a problem. Again, post or not to post, which camp do you fall in? And you can actually sort of fall into both posts a little bit by saying things like making it private. Now, John has a good question, and I don't have an answer for it. So on UMark, can you track the image because of the watermark? I don't believe you can. I'm not 100% certain of that, but it would be an interesting test case. There is another site if you want to see where your photos are. Oh, wait, somebody else has a, whoops. We got more watermark images, whoops. Melanie Hallam says, you can also put a line of periods above or below your watermark words. I've been making Photoshop watermarks on group photos because people crop them on Ancestry profile pics. I was just about to mention that even if you have the watermark, there are people who will take them off. But I sort of put it there as a deterrent. Jack is saying that he edits his photos on a Mac with Pixelmator Pro. The base layer is the original photo. Next layer is the person's name. Top layer is the copyright. That way I can produce unmarked photo with names, or photos with names and copyright. Right. So you need to have multiple copies of your photograph. And you can put copyright on the images. That's a whole nother issue, and that's something that Judy Russell, the legal genealogist, covers in her blog quite often. Maybe I need to have her on as a guest. That's what I'm thinking. Some people like watermarks and some people do not. That is absolutely correct, Mark. Get this off the screen. There we go. The biggest issue is if someone removes the watermark copyright notice from a photo and uses the photo, photo penalties are greatly increased, right, if you do that. There is software that can make tracking info on the watermark, but it costs money. So, Mark, if you know the name of that software, if you could put it in there, that would be great. And Robin, I'm with you. If someone asked me to share and noted me as the owner, I'd be okay. But I've had someone copy my whole tree and photos of his own on Ancestry. When I questioned him why he copied and said it is his, I had no answer. Right, right. That has happened to Sherry, and it has happened to Robin, and it has happened to countless others. So I did show you UMark online, and I'm going to close that out right now because I want to show you something else. Lots of good suggestions. Let's get rid of that one. I wanted to show you a quick tip for managing your copyright on Flickr. I don't know how many of you are on Flickr. Let me know if you're on Flickr. I know we just dumped a whole lot of photos off Flickr because they just got bought out by a company I actually really respect. But they changed their terms of service. So here's a Flickr image in my Flickr feed. I put a bunch of them up there just so I'd have them. And so when I go to this image, and this is not my family photo, this is one of the ones I picked up somewhere. I have hundreds of these snapshots with only partial identification. Unless someone is likely to jump up and say, that's Grandma and Johnny, and I know that Johnny is my father, they're probably going to stay unidentified, unfortunately. But on your Flickr page, when you upload something, you get to say what rights are associated with that photograph and whether that makes it private or not. So here you have all rights reserved because I copyright everything. Public domain work, you just want someone to attribute it to you. They can share it. They cannot make other copies of it. Like they can't put a Santa hat on mom, grandma out in the backyard. That's a derivative. Non-commercial use. You don't care if they use it in their blog, but maybe you care a lot if a product company calls and says they'd like to use that picture. That's called licensing. Non-commercial share, and it goes on and on and on. So there's lots of ways, and you're in the driver's seat with Flickr. You get to say, and nobody's looked at this photo, poor sad photo, because of course I don't have a very good name. It's just a test account. Let's see what questions you have about Flickr. And somebody's in Flickr since 2005. Oh, I've been on Flickr since Flickr was a beginning. And then, so Mark shared five that can track and do cost money. I am going to try to put this in my, let's see how good I am at this. If I can get this right-click copying thing to work. Copy that. And there's five of them here in the feed that Mark has mentioned. Sign My Image, Ice Mark, Open Stego, Steganography, Digimark Guardian. Those are all actual products. But he also included a link, Sign My Image. So I'm going to try to open another tab in Chrome. And then I'm going to share it with you so you can see it. Get rid of Flickr and share the desktop screen, Chrome tab. So you should be able to see this now. It's five software to embed an invisible signature to digital images. And so here's what you can do. This was updated 2 years ago, so you'd have to see if these are still good to use. There's Sign My Image is a shareware tool that costs €14.99 and comes with unlimited free upgrades. We'll have to see if these are still going. And it gives you instructions on each one. Ice Mark is a shareware. So these are shareware products. This one costs $49.95 for a single license. Open Source is Open Stego. So there's a lot of them here. I think you should click on that link and look at them. But if you are trying to see if your images have been used, there is a website. Here we go. I'm going to share this one as well. No, you can't see it. All right, hold on. Maybe I didn't push it to the broadcast. There you are. So it's Five Software to embed an invisible signature to digital images. That's what I was looking at just a minute ago. And Mark says, of course, that if you're using MemoryWeb to update your metadata fields, you'd be able to track the pictures also. Possibly. I'll have to ask them about that. So there are links in these comment fields under the video where you can then go and read these articles. But I wanted to show you one more piece of software or website, and that is called, share my desktop screen, TinEye. And I don't know if you're familiar with TinEye or not, but it is a reverse image search engine. And it's very cool. And I don't want to share with the whole world my entire desktop. But you can upload, let me go to TinEye. So you can upload or enter the image URL. And let me just put MaureenTaylor.com in there and see what happens. Oops, no, I want MaureenTaylor.com. And I'm going to search. Oops, trying to search a web page, so it won't do that. Bear with me. Let's just search for my Irish Family Photos JPEG thing that I did last weekend. It doesn't want to up. A long week of technical issues, has it not? Doesn't seem to like Magnetic Albums JPEG. Let's pick that one, see if that one is better. Nope, doesn't want to load. But anyway, you can put the URL of a specific image in there. Oh, there we go, zero results. It was working. But it searches, that's an image I created for one of my blog posts. And so TinEye then used that and searched over 35.2 billion images for both the file name and what this looks like. And here's what you need to know. Using TinEye is private. We do not save your search images. And it is free to use for non-commercial purposes. So that is pretty cool. I've used TinEye in the past, like to see where my headshot appeared and things like that. That is TinEye. Mark Davis uses the reverse search image engine on Google, and that's fine. I use Google Images all the time, which is images.google.com. But it's not a bad idea to use TinEye as well. They're different. You get different results. I'm going to hide that, and I'm going to give you TinEye. So it's TinEye.com. Use them both. They don't cost anything. And then you can see if some of your images have popped up. Now, of course, I don't think it's doing deep web searching. But Mark, what have you found on... You use the reverse image search on Google. I do that too for all kinds of reasons. You know, sometimes you end up with what you're looking for and sometimes you don't. It's funny, you know, when you do an image search on Google Images, what you can come up with sometimes. Sometimes it focuses on the wallpaper in the background. You have to be very specific. So are there any more questions for me in this? Oh, and the other most important. Most importantly, if you are going to share images online, only share 72 dpi. You don't need to share TIFF files, and nor should you. Only share at 72 dpi. And Mark is saying that when he does the image search engine on Google, it's more missed than hit. Yes, exactly. It's not quite there yet. So I thank you all for joining me today. And if you have any more questions, please put them in the comments under the video. And don't forget that you can watch this later on Facebook. You can get notice of it by being a newsletter subscriber, and it will be available as a podcast through iTunes. So thank you all for joining me for this special edition of the Photo Detective podcasty thing that I do. I call it podcasty because I do Facebook Live and then it becomes audio only. And I'll be back in April with some other topics. If you got a topic you'd like me to cover, send me a note. I'd love to hear about it. You got a guest you'd like to see on the show? Let me know that too. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you for watching and listening. You can submit your questions for future episodes using the Ask Maureen button on MaureenTaylor.com or through any of my social media contacts. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram as The Photo Detective and on Facebook at Maureen Photo Detective. I hope you'll come back for the next show. Don't forget to send me your questions.
I'm thrilled to be offering something new, Photo Investigations. These collaborative one-on-one sessions look at your family photos. You and I meet to discuss your mystery images and find out how each clue and hint might contribute to your family history. And trust me, these images can reveal so much in your research. I have decades of experience in the photo, genealogy, and history industries. This is your chance to learn from me and discover the stories in your family images. You can find out more by going to MaureenTaylor.com and clicking on Family Photo Investigations.